So we thank you so much in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Good morning. Well, I think I'm getting better response, team. Fantastic. Thank you. You guys made my day. Can I have my slide up, please? Okay, I am going to share a message today, and this is my really privilege to be able to share something with you this morning. It's Romans 8:28. It's one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible, and within the body of Christ, right? You guys all know this verse, right? Right? Can you cite them without even reading it? Two, three? I come from the school right now, I'm a head of school, serving as a head of school in Faith International Academy in Davao City in the Philippines as a missionary. I've done many different things. When I ask my students to do things, they do it. I'm just kidding. No. Can we recite all together? Two, three. Perfect. I can tell who is a student, who is not a student. Students will go all the way, and then adults are like, kind of winding down. I don't want to say anymore. I get it. I've been there. Okay, so today's title is Let's Go Home. Like, and what in the world? Like, that's not a kind of typical sermon topic, isn't it? I don't like to pick sermon topics that are really kind of generic. That's, Jesus is great. Moses, split the Red Seas and so forth. But when you look at the title and when you read the verses, kind of hard to find the connection in between, isn't it? So some of you might be thinking, what's got to do? Let's go home and the verses of Romans 8:28 today. It's really, there isn't any connection, it seems. But we're going to get there. So way I preach a lot of times, I like to use a narrative format. Do anybody know what a narrative preaching style is? It's basically storytelling. I can assure you I'll be citing all the scripture rather than just giving you the what chapter, what verses, and so forth, okay? So stay with me. Okay. As we live our life, there's one of the big, big questions that we entire humanity has been asking. Do you guys know what it is? It's up there. So what is it? What is one of the big, the most asked questions throughout the entire human history? Is the where are we come from? Where are we come from? Right? And where are we going? Has been one of the most important questions over the centuries, and still people are asking questions. I've been meeting a lot of young adults and high school students, and sometimes I ask questions like, if you're graduating, what do you want to do? I'm going to college. Then what? I don't know. Maybe find a job? I meet with a lot of young adults in their 40s and 50s, and then I'm asking the same question. So what do you want to do the rest of your life? I don't know. Maybe I just keep working? A few years back, I had to go through some midlife crisis. I'm not that old. I'm only 25. Well, I forgot to count since then. When I hit 25, I just forgot my age. So I'm staying in that way. So when I hit a midlife crisis, I had to ask the same question. Where am I going? What have I done? Is there any purpose in my life? I don't understand what God is asking me to do. I don't even get it, where I'm going, heading towards to. So this has been historically asked so many times. And people are still asking those questions. Feel like we are in the middle of no oceans, trying to navigate our directions so we know where to go. If we describe this world as an ocean, we are a ship in the oceans. A ship in the oceans is not necessarily a sinking ship, isn't it? But if the ship continues wandering around the ocean without any destination and direction, that ship will eventually sink in the water. Every ship has to go somewhere. When you don't know where to go, how to get there, you're in a trouble. You're in a trouble, right? So our destination is deeply rooted in our identity. This is something that I frequently quote, saying myself, not knowing who you are is like a ship set sail in the ocean with no destinations. Our calling or direction that we are going is deeply rooted in who we are. Today is Mother's Day, right? Every time I ask people, who are you? What's coming first? Oh, my name is so-and-so. Why do you have to tell me your name? Why is the name so important? Why? I'm sorry, it's my bad habit. If I ask questions, I wait for answers. If I don't have an answer, I don't normally move on. I'm going to behave myself today, though. Why do we have to tell our name? Huh? Because of your label? Yes? Mother gave to us. Because that is deeply rooted in who we are. Who we are. Where you come from. You guys all have your last name, right? Do you have a last name? I know I have one. When I know my last name, when I tell people where my last name is, sometimes people can tell where you come from, who are your ancestors even. Especially within the Chinese community, even Europeans and North Americans, their last name has deeply rooted in where they come from, who they are, where their origin is. Name is important. It shows who we are. When we know who we are, we know where we are going. So our destination is deeply rooted in our identity. So now look at back to the scripture that we just read. It says, and we know that all things God works for good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. There are a few things that I do want to identify in these scriptures. Whenever I share this particular passage and I ask this question, do you love God? And everybody says yes, because we're in a church, right? If you go to church and if I ask the same question, do you love God? Yes. How much do you love him, do you, really? I don't know. Let me think about it. In the body of Christ, we do confess that we love God, right? We love God. We all love God. Whether some of your love is starting point, and some may have been and deepen your relationship with God, so your love might be deeper. Some may be still figuring out what it means and how to love God and so forth. Right? This particular passage is clearly indicating us everything's going to be fine. We will work together if you love God. And then I'm thinking, yes, I love God. So everything in my life is going to just pan out beautifully. Now it's going to be highway. Whatever I want to do, and God is going to continue to bless me. And that's how I perceived it when I was younger. Now, as I continue to meditate on looking at and study the Bible, it says something else and then afterwards. It says this, have been called. Called, okay. I'm born, which means I've been called in some ways. But not my own purpose. Not my own design, not my own desire. He says, those who called according to whose purpose? Whose purpose? Who is he? God's. God's purpose. A lot of time we're trying to navigate our life based on my own design, own desire, not thinking God. An easier way to explain it is this. We have a guitar. I'm not going to destroy it. We have a guitar right here. What is the purpose of a guitar? To play music and play beautiful sound and then bring people to the place of enjoyment and so forth, right? Have you seen somebody using guitar as a weapon? Have you used Somebody was saying yes here. Have you guys used a guitar to smack somebody? Danger. Okay, this is a danger group here. I need to stay away. Okay. I haven't done it. You guys are okay. I haven't done that one yet. Anyway, in the movie, you guys have seen so many people using guitars and instruments and hitting somebody. That guitar is fulfilling its purpose. But it's being used, right? Being used, but not necessarily fulfilling its purpose. Every man, humanity, every man created something with a purpose and plan. Every man creates things with a purpose and plan. When somebody made a guitar, he had something in his mind. Not that somebody's going to use it as a weapon, but to play, make music and sound. But some other people will use it as a weapon. Some other people will use it as a toy. They can take it out in the playground and put a whole bunch of sand, like a kid's toy. Why? Because they don't know how to use it, because they do not understand the purpose behind. Have you felt that way? I'm living my life, but at the same time, I don't know where I'm going, what I'm supposed to do. Feel like I'm lost. I have a job, I'm making money, I'm doing this and that, but I don't know where am I going. And all of a sudden, I don't understand where I come from. Where is my purpose in this life? Because every creation has its purpose. You have a purpose. I have a purpose in my life. Right? So how are we going to find the purpose in our life? Is the biggest question, isn't it? We can all make it full of self, saying, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Is it what God is asking you to do, or is it what you want to do? And that's another question. In this particular matter, I will continue to explore things in the three different aspects. So I want to talk about identity and common sense and religious life or fake life, something I call it. Okay? So what time did I start? I'm trying to keep the time. What? Okay. Pastor Arthur gave me that thumbs up, and I can just take on as long as I want. Yes. All right. So I want to talk about three different aspects of identity, common sense, and religious life. Or perhaps I would call this fake life. Okay. All of you guys are quite familiar with the story of a prodigal son, right? What is the story behind the prodigal son? I love this awkward quietness. So this danger group, what is the story behind the prodigal son? Sorry? Left, came back to his dad, and what's your version? Bad boy, come back. Okay, I like the title. I am going to have to use that one day. Bad boy, come back. Oh, I like that. Well, makes sense. Bad boy left and bad boy come back. So, yes. So, when you read Prodigal Son, it's talking about very specific Jewish cultures. And then within the Jewish culture, sons can ask for parents' inheritance when their parents are alive still. Which means it indicates two different things. One, I want to consider you as a dead person. Okay? Second thing is, I don't want to do anything with you. So let me be whatever I want to be. In this particular setup, there is a Jewish ceremony. It's called Kazah ceremony. Went too far. Okay, there's something's missing. Okay, maybe. Okay, let's go this way. Yeah. Kazah ceremony. It reflects something significant in the biblical sense. When son asked for the inheritance and he sold everything he left, you read scriptures and father is always waiting for his son's return. Have you read the scriptures in that story? Or you haven't read the Bible yet? Right? Fathers always wait and looking out for the son's return from a far distance. Kenneth Bailey has written a book called The Cross and the Prodigal. In his book, he talks about this particular ceremony. Why is this so important? In this book, he talks about this ceremony, this word as in cutting off, cutting it off. So when son asked for inheritance, he just left, and his father are supposed to put in, I'm going to pretend this in as a clay jar, by the door, entrance of the house. And father always looks out from far, far distance whether the son is coming back or not. Okay. I want you guys to really understand and capture the context of this. And all of a sudden, he sees far from somebody walking towards the house. You know what the Jewish traditions do? They will grab the jar, run towards the, before even he get close to the house, smash his jar right in front of him and says, you are no longer part of my family. Get out. Get out. That's what the Kazakh ceremony is all about. So when father was waiting by the door, looking, his bed boy, coming back. Can you imagine what's happening in the son's heart? He knew what he was doing. He knew when he had to come back home. That's why he said, my father's house, there are many servants. They eat better than I eat right now. Maybe, perhaps, my father will take me back as servant, not as his son. That's why he decided to go back home as servant, not son. He knew exactly what was happening. So father's running towards son. Can you imagine? Son's heart is beating and worrying, and then he's going to drop the jar and smash it at me. I can maybe no longer enter into his house, even as a servant. Now, all that's happening in his mind, and all of a sudden, father comes, puts a rope on him, new shoes, and ring, a sign of a restoration, a reconciliation. That was completely going against the Jewish culture during that time. When son came home, he finally recognized and realized that he is not servant. When he left father, he was completely lost in the world. He didn't know where he's going. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to live his life. He felt there was no purpose in calling in his life. When he came back, he found himself. He began to recognize as who he is. Because the father called him as a son, not as a servant. Second part is this. It's common. Then older brother is there. Older brother, right? Older brother. We don't talk about him that much, are we? Well, every time we talk about prodigal son, and so we talk about bad boy returning home. But yeah, what's older son? Is it a good boy staying home? That's not running too well, okay? Good boy. Okay. Older son. Let's talk about older son. Older son remained home. What did he do? He worked. Remember, the father gave inheritance, portion to his younger son, the other portion to whose? Older son. So younger son decided to sell it all and then leave. And older son What did you do? Worked. Stayed home, being a good son. Let's read this particular passage. It says this. What is it saying? My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. When the older son came home and from the field working, and he found out his brother came back, bad boy came back home, and what? Father's killing a calf and throwing a party and a celebration. The son comes in home, complains. Father, father, how come you have never given me even a goat to celebrate with my friend? Yet you kill the calf to throw a party for the bad son. Does it make sense to you? Why does the older son need a permission to kill his own goat to have a party for himself when it's all his? Even older son remained home, yet he didn't even understand who he was. Sometimes we think because we are Christian, we are staying in a church and participating in Sunday services and Bible studies and so forth, we think we know who we are, but yet we are completely lost. Within the body of Christ and within, in and outside the body of Christ, there are prodigal son and there are sons that stayed home. But we both feel lost. We both feel lost. Okay. I want all of us to really truly understand God has called every single one of us, really. If we want to know where we are going, what we are doing, where we're heading towards to, who knows best who you are? If you really want to know how the grand piano works, who do we have to go to? One who created true intention in their mind. We need to be able to go back to him and say, what's my purpose? What's my purpose in life? I don't think we have enough time to continue on, but the second part is called the common sense that I want to talk about. Is it a common sense really in the Bible? Yes, it is in the Bible. It's a Proverbs 2:7. It talks about that he grants treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield and to those who walk with integrity. Common sense is composed with God's character and wisdom. Have you met people without any common sense? I met so many people without common sense. Why? Because they do not know how to engage with God's characters. That's where everything comes from. If we do not have a reference point in our society, we do not even know where to go from. If everything else, everybody's, whatever they're saying is right in their own eyes, within our current society where we live in, everybody. So opinions, respect, yes, I respect everybody's opinion, but if we do not have a reference point where we can journey from, there is no destination. That reference point is the Word of God and characteristic of God. And the lastly, the son, our last son, has lived his life based on religious lifestyle. Religious lifestyle. God is asking all of us to come back home so we can start all over again. He wants to restore you. He wants to restore older son and younger son. So you and I, we can both know and understand what God has called us to do. That's what God is asking you to come home. Come home. So I'm going to wrap it up with this. Is it possible to put up the painting? I think that in one of my slides, there is a painting that I want to show this painting, and not that one, next. That's another slide. I can move. Yeah, I overkilled it, didn't I? Okay. So I want all of you guys to really watch this particular painting. This is a painting done by Andrea Rubel, a Russian artist. He paint this one, and it's called the Trinity, Holy Trinity. As you look at this painting, there is a very particular setup there. It's a Holy Spirit and Father and Son is represented in this one. And that, and I love this painting. This is one of my favorite paintings. And when you look at this particular painting, there is a square hole on the table. Can you see that one? Do you see it? That on the table. By the way, they are doing, painting, they are doing a communion. In the table, there's a small hole in the very center. Based on Richard Rohr, he wrote a book called The Divine Dance. In his book, he talks about in original painting, there is something that were attached to this painting in original. And they have discovered that was a mirror. That was a mirror. So when you look at this painting without a mirror, how many do you see? Without a mirror, how many do you see? Three, Trinity, Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When you think of it, if there's a mirror and you look at that painting, how many do you see? Four, six. In this capacity, we're talking about, if it's 200 people sitting here, we are talking 203, not just three. God is asking you to come home so we can do this together. God wants you to fulfill your calling and destiny. In order to do that, we have to go home and be with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit so we can journey this together to find out our destinations, what God is calling us to do. And God says, come home. Come home. And let's make this journey together. So can we just close our eyes so we can wrap it up? And I want you to examine your heart today, this morning, and asking, God, have I just strayed away from home? Is there any part of me that's not fully engaging in your heart? And you are calling us to come. Be in the community of God with you. Father God, we ask you to continue to journey with us. Help us, guide us, show us direction. Sometimes we are like a ship that we don't even know and understand our destination is. We don't even know the direction that we are supposed to go, but you know it. And you say, like, when you come into my community, when you come home, we can journey this together. So Father God, in this morning, we make ourselves a commitment to you that we are going to come home and do this journey with you, not alone, or watching you doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.